Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman? Nicole.
Thank you, Chris Isaac. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. I thought I'd try something a little different today just to get us in the mood. The mood for what? I'm not quite sure. I've got the TV on in the background because President Biden is supposed to speak about this afternoon, like now. But you know how he's been. He's very much like Obama in that sense. When they say that he'll address the nation at 5 p.m., it sometimes happens more like 6:30. So it's supposed to be 5, which is what time it is now. We'll see. I'll monitor it, and we may or may not take the speech because we have other stuff to do. So welcome to a Thursday, as I like to refer to it, Friday Eve. Because the weekend can't come quickly enough. We have today's Thursday, so Howie Klein will be here. And there's a lot to talk to Howie about, and not the recall. Because basically by now, either you voted, hopefully you voted, and hopefully you voted no on the recall. So we're not even going to go there. Look, Howie, I've known Howie for probably 20 years. We met in a previous life. He was president of Reprise Records, and I was doing great music radio in Los Angeles. And so that's when we first met. And then we reconnected in this post-music industry life as progressive activists or thereabouts. So anyway, Howie does great work. He's very principled. Sometimes I disagree with him. The one thing I will always promise you is that I'll always call out people that I disagree with. But, Howie's been doing this show on a weekly basis probably for 10 years now. And we've disagreed on a number of things. There are certain candidates we actually disagree on. Like somebody who just posted it, somebody just posted in the YouTube chat room, John Doe. Right now, the polling on the recall in California stands at about 54% saying no, 41% saying yes. I don't think it's going to be an issue. Knocking on wood laminate here, I won't be happy and satisfied until it's over and Larry Elder crawls back into his radio basement bunker and shuts up. Yeah, you turned our ballots in last week. In fact, if you didn't, you can't mail it in anymore, because the way it works is they won't take ballots after Tuesday. They will only count the ballots that have been turned in before Tuesday and the in-person voting on Election Day. Anything that comes in Wednesday or after, it doesn't get counted. So if you haven't yet turned in your ballot, what are you waiting for? This is, nothing to play around with. But anyway, we're going to talk with Howie about other things. The things that, that are on the line right now, which is like the future of the country and who is trying to derail Joe Biden's plans to turn things around. It's the usual suspects, but, we'll get there. But I got to tell you, this is a very... did I say Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday is the 14th. That's the election day in California. Tuesday is voting is September 14th. Yeah, that's the day of the recall election. This is a week where we're looking back in history. Obviously, Saturday marks the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So, and I've been kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Not melancholy, but a bit wistful. I think you reach a certain age and you look back in time and all of a sudden this happened 25 years ago. That happened 40 years ago. This happened 50 years ago, right? So no, not Diane Russell says, or postmark Tuesday. No. Can't be postmark Tuesday. If it's not in by Tuesday, it will not get counted. This is different from a regular election. If you have not, if you're in California and you have one of those ballots and you have not yet mailed it in, don't. It's too late. You need to hand deliver it to either your supervisor of elections office or go on election day and vote in person. Do not mail it in at this point. Your ballot will not be counted. Diane, I know you mean well, but that usually on election day, that's how it works. It can be postmarked by election day. Not in this case, because this is all ridiculous. This is all a scam. And that's why I was, you know, angry at Howie, because he was taken. Oh, Biden's speaking now? He's on time? Really? He is. Let's listen to what Joe Biden is saying. Wow. Go figure.
Our vaccination rate.
Here we go.
Protect ourselves and others.
Let me
with
bring
masking,
up this
expanded
video.
Testing, and identify people who are infected. We can and we will turn the tide on COVID-19.
Okay.
It'll take a lot of hard work. It's going to take some time.
I hope we can.
Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated, even though the vaccine is safe, effective, and free. You might be confused about what is true and what is false about COVID-19.
Yeah.
So before I outline the new steps to fight COVID-19 that I'm going to be announcing tonight, let me give you some clear information about where we stand.
Okay. We need
First,
really need that.
We've made considerable progress in battling COVID-19.
Yeah.
When I became president, about 2 million Americans were fully vaccinated. Today, over 175 million Americans have that protection.
Okay. That's good.
Before I took office, we hadn't ordered enough vaccine for every American. Just weeks in office, we did. The week before I took office on January 20th of this year, over 25,000 Americans died that week from COVID-19.
Amazing.
Last week, that grim weekly toll was down 70%. And then 3 months before I took office, our economy was faltering, creating just 50,000 jobs a month. We're now averaging 700,000 new jobs a month in the past 3 months. This progress is real. But while America is much in better shape than it was 7 months ago when I took office, I need to tell you a second fact.
Okay.
We're in the tough stretch, and it could last for a while. Highly contagious Delta variant that I began to warn America about back in July spread late summer, like it did in other countries before us. While the vaccines provide strong protection for the vaccinated, we read about and hear about and we see the stories of hospitalized people, people on their deathbeds among the unvaccinated over the past few weeks. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Yeah, it is.
And it's caused by the fact that despite America having unprecedented and successful vaccination program, despite the fact that for almost 5 months, free vaccines have been available in 80,000 different locations, we still have nearly 80 million Americans who have failed to get the shot.
Wow.
And to make matters worse, there are elected officials actively working to undermine the fight against COVID-19. Instead of encouraging people to get vaccinated and mask up, they're ordering mobile morgues for the unvaccinated dying from COVID in their communities.
Yep.
This is totally unacceptable. Third, if you wonder how all this adds up, here's the math. The vast majority of Americans are doing the right thing.
True.
Nearly three quarters of the eligible have gotten at least one shot. But one quarter has not gotten any. That's nearly 80 million Americans not vaccinated. In a country as large as ours, that's 25% minority. That 25% can cause a lot of damage, and they are.
You think?
The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer. And fourth, I want to emphasize that the vaccines provide very strong protection from severe illness from COVID-19. I know there's a lot of confusion and misinformation. But the world's leading scientists confirm that if you are fully vaccinated, your risk of severe illness from COVID-19 is very low.
Good.
In fact, based on available data from the summer, only one out of every 160,000 fully vaccinated Americans was hospitalized for COVID per day.
One out of 160,000. Wow.
So here's where we stand. The path ahead, even with the Delta variant, is not nearly as bad as last winter. But what makes it incredibly more frustrating,
kids,
is that we have the tools to combat COVID-19. And a distinct minority of Americans, supported by a stink minority of elected officials.
A stink minority?
That works.
Stink, yes.
These pandemic politics, as I refer to, are making people sick, causing unvaccinated people to die. We cannot allow these actions to stand in the way of protecting the large majority of Americans who have done their part and want to get back to life as normal. As your president, I'm announcing tonight a new plan to require more Americans to be vaccinated to combat those blocking public health. My plan also increases testing, protects our economy, and will make our kids safer in schools. It consists of six broad areas of action and many specific measures in each that in each of those actions you can read more about in whitehouse.gov. Whitehouse.gov.
That's easy enough to remember.
The measures, these are going to take time to have full impact. But if we implement them, I believe, and the scientists indicate, that the months ahead we can reduce the number of unvaccinated Americans, decrease hospitalizations and deaths, and allow our children to go to school safely and keep our economy strong by keeping businesses open. First, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements.
Okay.
With nearly 80 million eligible Americans who have not gotten vaccinated, many said they were waiting for approval from the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA.
Pfizer's been approved.
Well, last month, the FDA granted that approval.
Yes.
So,
to Pfizer,
the waiting is over. This summer, we made progress through the combination of vaccine requirements and incentives, as well as the FDA approval. 4 million more people got their first shot in August than they did in July.
Okay.
But we need to do more. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love.
Okay. Give us the
My
six pillars, Joe. Come on.
Is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated.
Yes.
Or show a negative test at least once a week.
You know, make them get the shot.
Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America. My plan will extend the vaccination requirements that I previously issued in the healthcare field.
Okay.
Already, I've announced, we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers.
Yes.
Who treat patients on Medicare and Medicaid because
Good.
I have that federal authority.
Yes, you do.
Tonight, I'm using that same authority to expand that to cover those who work in hospitals.
Awesome.
Home healthcare facilities or other medical facilities. A total of 17 million healthcare workers. If you're seeking care at a health facility, you should be able to know that the people treating you are vaccinated.
You think?
Simple, straightforward,
you
period.
Think?
Next, I will sign an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated.
Yes.
All.
Yes.
And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
Okay. How about schools?
If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce. And tonight, I'm removing one of the last remaining obstacles that make it difficult for you to get vaccinated. The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated.
Good. Yes.
No one should lose pay in order to get vaccinated or take a loved one to get vaccinated.
Or if you need a day or two
today,
because you,
total,
you know, have a side effect from the vaccine.
Requirements in my plan will affect about 100 million Americans.
Wow.
Two-thirds of all workers.
Good.
And for other sectors, I issue this appeal to those of you running large entertainment venues, from sports arenas to concert venues to movie theaters.
Yes.
Please require folks to get vaccinated or show a negative test as a condition of entry. And to the nation's family physicians.
Yeah.
Pediatricians, GPs, general practitioners. You're the most trusted medical voice to your patients. You may be the one person who can get someone to change their mind about being vaccinated. Tonight, I'm asking each of you to reach out to your unvaccinated patients over the next 2 weeks and make a personal appeal to them.
Good idea.
To get the shot.
Yeah.
America needs your personal involvement in this critical effort.
Good for him.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What
Fuck you.
More is there
oh, sorry.
To wait for?
Joe Biden.
What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient.
Mm-hmm.
The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
No shit.
And your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing. But just don't take it from me. Listen to the voices of unvaccinated Americans who are lying in hospital beds, taking their final breath, saying, if only I'd gotten vaccinated.
Yep.
If only. It's a tragedy. Please don't let it become yours. The second piece of my plan is continuing to protect the vaccinated.
Please.
For the vast majority of you who've gotten vaccinated, I understand your anger at those who haven't gotten vaccinated. I understand the anxiety about getting a breakthrough case. But as the science makes clear, if you're fully vaccinated, you're highly protected from severe illness, even if you get COVID-19. In fact, recent data indicates there is only one confirmed positive case per 5,000 fully vaccinated Americans per day. You're as safe as possible. And we're doing everything we can to keep it that way. Keep it that way. Keep you safe. That's where boosters come in. The shots that give you even more protection.
I got mine.
Than after your second shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's been some confusion about boosters, so let me be clear. Last month, our top government doctors announced an initial plan for booster shots for vaccinated Americans. They believe that the booster is likely to provide the highest level of protection yet. Of course, the decision of which booster shots to give, when to start them, and who will give them will be left completely to the scientists at the FDA and the Centers for Disease Control.
As it should be.
But while we wait, we've done our part. We bought enough booster shots, and the distribution system is ready to administer them. As soon as they are authorized, those eligible will be able to get a booster right away in tens of thousands of sites across the country for most Americans at your nearby drugstore and for free. The third piece of my plan is keeping, and maybe the most important, is keeping our children safe and our schools open.
Please, please.
For any parent, it doesn't matter how low the risk of any illness or accident is when it comes to your child or grandchild. Trust me, I know. So, let me speak to you directly. Let me speak to you directly to help ease some of your worries. It comes down to two separate categories. Children ages 12 and older who are eligible for a vaccine now.
Yeah.
And children ages 11 and under who are not yet eligible. The safest thing for your child, 12 and older, is to get them vaccinated.
You think?
They get vaccinated for a lot of things.
For everything.
That's it. Get them vaccinated. As with adults, almost all the serious COVID-19 cases we're seeing among adolescents are in unvaccinated 12 to 17-year-olds.
Amazing how that happens.
A group that lags behind in vaccination rates. So parents, please get your teenager vaccinated.
Hello.
What about children under the age of 12 who can't get vaccinated
yet?
Yeah,
what about them?
Well, the best way for a parent to protect their child under the age of 12
is for them to be vaccinated.
At home.
Hello.
Every parent, every teen sibling, every caregiver around them should be vaccinated. Children have 4 times higher chance of getting hospitalized if they live in a state with low vaccination rates rather than states with high vaccination rates. Now, if you're a parent of a young child, you're wondering, when will it be the vaccine available for them? I strongly support independent scientific review for vaccine uses for children under 12. We can't take shortcuts with that scientific work. But I've made it clear I will do everything within my power to support the FDA with any resource it needs to continue to do this as safely and as quickly as possible. And our nation's top doctors are committed to keeping the public at large updated on the process so parents can plan. Now to the schools.
Yes, schools.
We know that
Let's
if
go.
Schools follow the science and implement the safety measures like testing, masking, adequate ventilation systems, which we provided the money for, social distancing, and vaccinations, then children can be safe from COVID-19 in schools. Today, about 90% of school staffs and teachers are vaccinated. We should get that to 100%. My administration has already acquired teachers at the schools run by the Defense Department because I have the authority as president of the federal system.
Oh, it's what he can do. What
he's in the Interior Department to get vaccinated. That's authority I possess. Tonight, I'm announcing that we require all of nearly 300,000 educators in the federal paid program, Head Start program.
Awesome.
Must be vaccinated as well to protect your youngest, our youngest, most precious Americans, and give parents the comfort. And tonight, I'm calling on all governors to require vaccination for all teachers and staff. Some already have done so. We need more to step up. Vaccination requirements in schools are nothing new. They work. They're overwhelmingly supported by educators and their unions. And all school officials trying to do the right thing by our children, I'll always be on your side. Let me be blunt. My plan also takes on elected officials in states that are undermining you.
Good.
And these life-saving
actions.
Start with
death sentence, please.
Right now, local school officials are trying to keep children safe in a pandemic while their governor picks a fight with them and even threatens their salaries or their jobs.
Yeah, Florida, hello.
Talk about bullying in schools.
You think?
If they'll not help, if these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Do it.
The Department of Education has already begun to take legal action against states undermining protection that local school officials have ordered. Any teacher or school official whose pay is withheld for doing the right thing, we will have that pay restored by the federal government 100%.
Good.
I promise you, I will have your back. The fourth piece of my plan.
Okay, that's four.
Is increasing testing and masking.
Please.
From the start, America has failed to do enough COVID-19 testing. In order to better detect and control the Delta variant, I'm taking steps tonight to make testing more available, more affordable, and more convenient. I'll use the Defense Production Act to increase production of rapid tests, including those that you can use at home. While that production is ramping up, my administration has worked with top retailers like Walmart, Amazon, and Kroger's. And tonight, we're announcing that no later than next week, each of these outlets will start to sell at-home rapid test kits at cost.
Wow.
For the next 3 months.
Good.
This immediate price reduction for at-home test kits for up to 35% reduction. We'll also expand free testing at 10,000 pharmacies around the country. And we're committing $2 billion to purchase nearly 300 million rapid tests for distribution to community health centers, food banks, schools.
Can I just point out what a contrast this is to the former guy who would be up there going, I deserve an A+ for my response to the pandemic.
Particularly for a parent.
We eradicated it.
With a child not old enough to be vaccinated. You'll be able to test them at home and test those around them.
Yeah.
In addition to testing, we know masking helps stop the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, it does.
That's why when I came into office, I required masks for all federal buildings and on federal lands, on airlines and other modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, tonight, I'm announcing that the Transportation Safety Administration, the TSA, will double the fines on travelers that refuse to mask.
Good.
To break the rules, be prepared to pay.
How about mandating
and
vaccines
by the way,
for planes
show
and trains?
Some respect. The anger you see on television toward flight attendants and others doing their job is
sickening.
Wrong. It's
you
ugly.
Think?
The fifth piece of my plan is protecting our economic recovery. Because of our vaccination program and the American Rescue Plan, which we passed early in my administration, we've had record job creation for a new administration. Economic growth unmatched in 40 years. We cannot let unvaccinated do this progress. Undo it.
Undo.
Turn
Thank
it
you.
Back. So tonight, I'm announcing additional steps to strengthen our economic recovery.
Really?
We'll be expanding COVID-19 economic injury disaster loan programs. That's a program that's going to allow small businesses to borrow up to $2 million from the current $500,000 to keep going if COVID-19 impacts on their sales. These low-interest, long-term loans require no repayment for 2 years and can be used to hire and retain workers, purchase inventory, or even pay down higher-cost debt racked up since the pandemic began. I'll also be taking additional steps to help small businesses stay afloat during the pandemic. Sixth, we're going to continue to improve the care of those who do get COVID-19. In early July, I announced the deployment of surge response teams. These are teams comprised of experts from the Department of Health and Human Services, the CDC, the Defense Department, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to areas in the country that need help to stem the spread of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, the federal government has deployed nearly 1,000 staff.
We've seen
including
them.
Including doctors,
nurses,
paramedics, into 18 states. Today, I'm announcing that the Defense Department will double the number of military health teams that they'll deploy to help their fellow Americans and hospitals around the country. Additionally, we're increasing the availability of new medicines recommended by real doctors, not conspiracy theorists. The monoclonal antibody treatments have been shown to reduce the risk of hospitalization by up to 70% for unvaccinated people at risk of developing severe disease.
Thank you.
We've already distributed 1.4 million courses of these treatments to save lives and reduce the strain on hospitals. Tonight, I'm announcing we will increase the average pace of shipment across the country of free monoclonal antibody treatments by another 50%.
Cool.
Before I close,
but get everyone vaccinated first.
Communities of color are disproportionately impacted by this virus.
Yep.
And as we continue to battle COVID-19, We will ensure that equity continues to be at the center of our response. We'll ensure that everyone is reached. My first responsibility as president is to protect the American people and make sure we have enough vaccine for every American, including enough boosters for every American who's approved to get one.
Good.
We also know this virus transcends borders. That's why even as we execute this plan at home, we need to continue fighting the virus overseas, continue to be the arsenal of vaccines. We're proud to have donated nearly 140 million vaccines over 90 countries, more than all other countries combined, including Europe, China, and Russia combined. That's American leadership on a global stage. And that's just the beginning. We've also now started to ship another 500 million COVID vaccines, Pfizer vaccines, purchased to donate to 100 lower-income countries in need of vaccines. And I'll be announcing additional steps to help the rest of the world later this month. As I recently released the key parts of my pandemic preparedness plan so that America isn't caught flat-footed with a new pandemic comes again, as it will, next month, I'm also going to release a plan in greater detail. So let me close with this. We've made so much progress during the past 7 months of this pandemic. The recent increases in vaccinations
because of the idiot
August
anti-vaxxers
already are having an impact in some states where case counts are dropping in recent days. Even so, we remain at a critical moment, a critical time. We have the tools. Now we just have to finish the job with truth, with science.
Justice in the American way?
Oh, and together, as one nation.
Wrong show.
Look, we're the United States of America. There's nothing, not a single thing we're unable to do if we do it together.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So let's stay together.
Hit Al Green, somebody.
And all those who continue to serve on the front lines of this pandemic. And may God protect our troops. Get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. Thank you, Joe Biden. And no, he's not going to take questions because this is not a press conference. It is a speech. And at speeches, presidents don't take questions. So I don't know about you, but thank you, Joe Biden. First of all, and I'm sorry, I kept interrupting. It's just what I do. But can you imagine if... Well, we don't have to imagine. We heard it for 4 years. The former guy would get up and would just talk about himself and what a great job he's doing. Well, thankfully, that guy's gone. And we have somebody good. I mean, he made sense. He was concise. He was taking in a position of authority. He was taking charge, saying we need to do something. We need to fix this. And he came up with six things. And I think that was pretty good. I'll tell you what, let's get Howie on the line. I have a feeling Howie didn't listen to the speech, but you heard it. That's why I wanted to carry it for you. So let's do this. Somebody mix up the Dirty Debbies because I could use a drink. All right. Let me get Howie on the line. Here we go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We just watched Joe Biden lay out his six-point plan to move forward and eradicate COVID. And he actually did a really good job. I'm guessing you didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. I'm writing, but I'm eager to hear about it. And I'm sure the audience is as well.
Yeah, well, they heard it because we carried it live. And it was very good. You know what? All I kept thinking was throughout the thing. I mean, here's a man who is just taking care of business. And if you think back to the former guy who would get up and make these pronouncements, one, he had no clue what he was talking about. And two, he would spend the whole time talking about what a great job he's doing and how he deserves an A+. And, you know, everyone needs to thank him and bow down at his feet. What a difference. What a sea change. And it's refreshing and it's so welcome. Because we are in the midst of this catastrophe, mostly. The reason it's still a catastrophe is because these idiots listen to the former guy and his cohorts who are telling you don't trust science. So,
right.
Yeah.
So what was the main points that Biden made? What is for those who are just tuning
okay,
in now?
Okay, a few things, and I don't have all of them written down. I didn't like keep track of the 6 points, but a number of things. One is a mandate. He signed an executive order that all companies with more than 100 employees have to require their workers be vaccinated or test for the virus weekly. This will affect about 80 million Americans. Any company with 100 or more employees has to either mandate the vaccine or...
How is that forced? You don't know.
I don't know. The roughly 17 million workers at healthcare facilities that get any federal Medicare or Medicaid funding will have to be fully vaccinated. Basically, all federal employees have to be fully vaccinated. So what any entities over which he has authority, federal workers, he is saying you've got to be vaccinated. That's it.
Right. He can.
Right.
Thing that they're going to fight him on, I would assume, is going to be the companies with over 100 employees. That seems like a real stretch to be able to claim that you can mandate something
right.
like that.
I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't know what the mechanism is, but I know that he wouldn't, that they've done the research and can do it in some form. There's got to be a way that they can do it. Or he wouldn't have.
Well, maybe there is, or maybe they're looking for a fight with the Republicans on something that's a winning issue for them.
Perhaps that's very. That's perhaps. Yep. Again, with schools, he can't. You know, he doesn't have the authority to say all public schools have to be vaccinated. But what he's saying is all federally funded schools that operate through. I guess the military or whatever, anything that he has the authority over, he is mandating the vaccines. And it's not only that. I don't know if it happened yet or not today, but the Los Angeles Unified School District today is supposed to take a vote on mandatory vaccinations for all kids 12 and up.
Great.
Yeah.
I read that would probably happen.
Yep. So, finally they're getting serious because frankly, I'm sick of this. Last week I got my third Moderna shot.
Oh, great.
Yep. I did. I saw my doctor. I'm now 5 years. I don't know if we talked about this. I passed my 5-year cancer-free mark. I'm clear. But the doctor did say, get the vaccine because I'm down a lung that, I'm no more susceptible to catching it than anyone else. But if I do get it, if I get pneumonia from COVID, I'm screwed because I'm down, I've got one lung. So I got the third shot, had a reaction. I was sick for about 36 hours. Didn't feel
really?
Well, really. I had a reaction to the second one as well. Now, David, my husband, he got the Pfizer. He had a reaction to the first shot. Really not much to the second and nothing to the third. He kept joking while I was like, feeling at death's door. He's going, I think they gave me a placebo. Like, shut up. But it passed, and even knowing if I knew in advance that I was going to get sick and I really, really did not feel well, I would have done it again. I would have done it anyway. It's 36 hours. And all it made me think of is, oh my God, if I feel this shitty from getting the vaccine, I can only imagine how I'd feel actually getting COVID, and I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I got free shots as well, as you know.
Yep.
I didn't feel any reaction to any of them. I mean, luckily it was just all, you know, easy peasy.
Right. I think that's most people have that. I don't know why I had a reaction, but again, it's temporary. I know I'm not going to die. I know I'm not going to get really sick. I'll just feel lousy for a day or two. And you know what? I can live with that. The key point being there, I can live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, it kills me when I hear these people, these idiots who will not get vaccinated. It's just, it's astounding that they just won't trust the science. It blows my mind. So hopefully this will make a difference. These six pillars that they're calling them, hopefully will make a dent in this.
And yeah, I don't understand why he says he doesn't have the authority to ask schools to do it, because the schools do get federal aid, that's for sure. I mean, it seems to be much, much more of a stretch to say that every company
with over 100 employees.
I mean, I hope it works. I hope they're all happy to do it. But I'm sure there's going to be one or two, maybe way more than that, there will be Republican companies who want to fight about it.
Oh, well, I'm sure. I'm sure somebody will challenge it. You know, the idiots on the fake news channel are going to scream, he's a fascist. Well, no.
He's Hitler.
Right. He's Hitler because he wants to get you vaccinated to keep you alive. By the way, we're having a massive storm here. So if you hear the thunder, that's the thunder. And if all of a sudden we go away, it's because the power went out, because Florida Power and Light doesn't know how to keep the power on when there's a thunderstorm. But I do have a backup battery. So hopefully we're good. So anyway, so Howie, So now this is the week. Let's segue off of the vaccine, because I feel confident we have at least somebody who knows what the hell he's doing, or at least has competent people around him that I feel like they're doing their jobs. So I feel good about that. And not like the 4 years before, where everything they did scared the shit out of me because I thought, what are they going to fuck up next? Anyway, so, but let's move on.
It has a lot to do with how Trump picked people to work for him. He wanted ass kissers and celebrities and, you know, just people who didn't know how to do their jobs. Whereas Biden, who, as you know, I don't like at all, at least is picking competent people. He's looking for people who are competent, who know how to do jobs, who understand seriousness and understand what it means to sit down and read and study and get all the facts. We didn't have that with Trump at all.
No, we did not.
Not, you know,
we had the exact opposite. I mean, on every front, and we're still feeling the effects. You know, the Postal Service. I mean, I still am a fan of the U.S. Postal Service, except that Louis DeJoy is single-handedly crippling it. I shipped a package out to, you know, I do these paintings, so I'm sending paintings all over the country, and I'd say probably 20 to 30% of them get lost or delayed. My husband dropped off two packages at the post office for me. I do the postage at home, so all he has to do is drop them off. One of them went through fine. The other one, for days, said, we see you printed the label. We're still waiting on the package at the post office. Well, no. We dropped it off last week. You lost this paint. I mean, it nonstop. He had to send in a medical sample. They lost it. They lose things constantly. And I know that has always happened, but it's so much worse now than it ever was before. I don't know why Louis DeJoy is still there. Oh, except that the way it works is it's through the postal board, and you got to have enough people who will vote to oust him. It's complicated.
Second, let's face it. If Biden was serious about this and he wanted to get rid of DeJoy, he could fire anyone on the postal board
and replace them
immediately. There's no problem there. He could fire the whole board which he should do.
Yeah.
I think that the Democrats or some section of them, the conservative Democrats headed somewhat by Biden, want what DeJoy is doing to the post office. They feel he'll do it. He and Trump will get the blame, and they will feel, you know, okay, it's been done. It's not our fault.
Oh, I don't think he wants to destroy the post office.
Theory.
Why would he want to destroy the post office?
No, they don't want to. Of course, he doesn't want to destroy the post office, but there are things that they want to change in the post office. But the Democrats would never say that they want to, because they don't.
you know, as a party, they don't. But the conservative wing of the Democratic Party, and remember, Biden has been part of that for his whole life, there are things that they want that are similar to what the Republicans want. And they just figure, you know, they have an excuse for not being able to get rid of DeJoy, which is a bullshit excuse, but people accept it and let him, you know, do the dirty work.
Yeah, well, he needs to get rid of DeJoy because I see it using the damn postal service. I see. And DeJoy is even open about it. He's like, we're going to slow it down and we're going to make it more expensive. Well, fuck you.
Yep.
You know, so anyway, so the other thing that's going on this week is Congress is not back in session, unbelievably, for another couple of weeks, but they have begun, you know, writing this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. And, you know, you have Joe Manchin, the usual suspect, saying, well, I think we need to hit the pause button and maybe, you know, make it not 3.5 trillion, but maybe a trillion or something like that. And now we're seeing some of these idiots in the House. This Stephanie Murphy from Florida.
Yeah.
Well, who the fuck is she? What is her deal?
Was about to lose her seat, by the way.
Good.
She through gerrymandering, but but she's awful. She's craving attention. She wants to be able. She thinks that she can go to conservatives in her district and say, "Look what I did." In the end, she'll vote for it. But what she did today on the House Ways and Means Committee was, you know, dastardly. But they don't really need her vote there, you know. So it wasn't really doing any real damage. And, you know, I wish, but I know it's not going to happen, that Pelosi would learn a lesson that you don't put conservative assholes like Stephanie Murphy on an important committee.
The January 6th committee. And that's Pelosi. You know, I don't know why she put this, first of all, backbencher nobodies. Nobody had ever heard of her before. And she turns out to be this, you know, this new Dem blue dog obstructionist, and Pelosi allegedly wants this legislation to pass. Why is she giving this woman more power?
Well, she didn't know that she would do this, but you know, she should have.
Yeah, she should have.
The thing is that as the chairman of the blue dogs, as one of the chairman of the blue dogs, Pelosi wants to have a good relationship with these people. She also wants to shore up Democrats who are in shaky seats, like Stephanie Murphy. So they give them plum position committees that they can then go to their back to their constituents and say, "Look what I did for you on this, you know, on this important bill."
Wow.
And that's you know, but she shouldn't do it with someone who's as conservative as Stephanie Murphy. You know, No Labels has this thing called the Unbreakable Nine, and then she jumped in.
It's to be the 10.
They didn't change it to the Unbreakable 10. That's what it is now. So it's 10. What it is nine New Dems and nine Blue Dogs and one New Dem. Although most of the Blue Dogs are also New Dems. But Blue Dogs are worse.
It's very incestuous.
Nine Blue Dogs, including Stephanie Murphy.
Wow.
And led by Josh Gottheimer in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And Kurt Schrader in Oregon. These are horrible, horrible, horrible members of Congress, and they're stepping in and trying to stop the bill. And why are they trying to stop the bill? Basically, there's one three-letter word. Well, you could say five-letter word. Three-letter word is tax. Five-letter word is taxes.
Uh-huh.
Not tax, but taxes.
Gotcha. Hmm.
And that's what it's really about. They're not really, most of them are not really against any of the policies that other than taxes. They're not really against any of Biden's policies. They're okay with them. They don't care about them that much. Some of them they favor, some of them they don't like, but they're not going to make a fuss about it. The problem for them is taxes. Who is going to pay taxes and how much? And they don't want this goes for Manchin and to some extent Sinema. Sinema, as I've said before, is just psychotic. So you can't ascribe any normal human anything to her. She's out of her mind.
Right.
But Manchin and these blue dogs in the House, they just don't want to see taxes go up for their donors, for rich, rich donors who are, after all, financing their careers,
their families' careers, their lifestyles. I mean, they're living, you know, living large because of these big donors. The big donors don't want to see their taxes go up.
Right. Right. So, and in fact, you have a piece
really
up.
What the problem is here.
Your newest.
It's not the specifics.
Yeah.
And except in one other case, by the way, I should mention this. You know, this thing would eliminate tax subsidies to fossil fuel companies. And Manchin feels he can't be part of that.
Right.
Because West Virginia.
Oh, unreal. You know, you have your newest post up at Down With Tyranny is the fight over reconciliation isn't about policy. It's about money. Who will pay? And that's what it's coming down to. Bernie Sanders is on the road as like another campaign. I had John Nichols of The Nation on the other day talking about he's got a piece in the print edition of The Nation called Bernie's Third Campaign and how he's out, you know, actively holding rallies, doing things, promoting this this program. And, you know, for the most part, it seems like Biden is backing him up. And even Chuck Schumer seems to be working with them. So I'm
glad you used the word seems twice.
Yes, yes.
Because that's a very key
yes.
word. And we'll see when push comes to shove. You know, Bernie has already threatened them
yes.
that he won't vote against. He will vote against the hard infrastructure bill if they shit can his reconciliation bill. So at some point, Schumer and Biden are going to compromise. And what is going to really matter is money. How yep. much are they going to compromise? That's really what it's going to come down to. Now, I am sure that when Bernie wrote this thing, he knew that and the chairman of the different committees who are working with him, they all knew that, you know, you've got jerks like Gottheimer in the House and Manchin in the Senate mm-hmm. who are going to want to cut. So I'm guessing that they put a little fat in there.
They oh, yeah, they have to.
$2.5 billion worth
not
of fat
that
in
much.
There. So that's why Bernie is flipping out right now. By the way, that story that I wrote on my blog
uh-huh.
that you just mentioned has, it starts, I believe, with a video of Bernie talking about this from his perspective and how the plutocrats are behind this, in other words, behind Gottheimer, behind Manchin, behind Sinema. And that's why this is happening.
Wow. You know, and so much I'm seeing is about, you know, Manchin, that Manchin is the sticking point. Manchin. Well, and even Joe Biden's like, well, you know, I've known Joe for years and he'll come around and he'll be with me. I think they're underestimating Kyrsten Sinema. You've said, you know, she's fucking nuts. And she,
exactly.
you know, she did her stupid thumbs down thing. What was that for? The $15 an hour minimum wage? I don't trust her. I think she would be the one to completely derail the whole thing because she likes the attention.
Exactly. I completely agree. I've been saying it from the very beginning. But you can't, because she's so crazy, you can't really figure out what she's going to do. She's capable of doing anything, but this is a crazy person. And, you know, people might be laughing at me right now for saying it, but I served with her for years on a board.
Mm-hmm.
I know her very well personally. This is an insane person. When I first met her, we were very friendly. We literally, it was a board of, I don't know, 40 people or 30 people. And she and I were drawn to each other because we obviously were both interested in electoral politics. This is before she was in Congress.
Right.
She wasn't even in the House yet, let alone the Senate. And so it's a long time ago. But after a while, I realized she's crazy. I stopped, not only did I stop sitting near her, I used to watch where she would sit, and then I would sit somewhere around the table that wasn't in immediate eyesight. So if she pulled a gun out of her little designer bag and started shooting everybody, I wouldn't be one of the first ones to go.
Oh, my.
That's what I thought about her, and it's like way over a decade ago.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm telling you, she is a nut. This is a crazy, crazy person. I don't want to go into every story about how crazy she is
right.
and what my experience was with her in a restaurant or anything.
Oh, let's come on.
You just got to take my word as a lunatic.
Oh, I take your word. I believe. Look, I remember her. I remember when she was a state senator in Arizona and Keith Olbermann.
That's when I knew her.
And Keith Olbermann used to put her on Countdown all the time. And she was this cool, hip, you know, bisexual, progressive. I mean, she used to be a Green Party or a socialist or something. You know, I thought she was okay. I thought she was going to be a rising star. And she turned out to be this nut job. It's astounding.
She got, every year she gets more and more right wing. The only thing that's keeping her from joining the Republican Party right now is that she is the gay thing and the woman thing. That's it. Those two things. Everything else she's a Republican, but you know, she's very pro-choice and she's very pro-gay. Uh-huh. Know, two things that she cares about personally. That's it.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about that. She's frightening, and I'm afraid they're underestimating her. Somebody else that we've talked about many times before, and I think is a big problem for the Democrats, is Jim Clyburn, who died and made him king.
Yeah, he thinks he's king because basically he derailed Bernie's presidential campaign.
Yeah, he did.
So unfortunately, that made him king. And he feels even better now that he also defeated Nina Turner.
Right.
So those things make him feel powerful.
Yes. So there's a video. Let me just play this. You're the one who alerted me to this. He's on CNN with, Jim Acosta or I think that's who this is. Anyway, here's this video of Jim Clyburn. Let's listen to, I hope you can hear it because it's coming in on your pot. So if you don't hear it, Howie, you've heard it. Okay, here it goes. Oh, would help if I unmuted it.
It's just that a ceiling. No one has ever said that that's an exact number or that's a floor. It's up to 3.5 trillion.
It's up to 3.5 trillion.
Joe Manchin has mentioned a $1.5 trillion number.
Hey.
Or somewhere between 1.5 and 3.5, there is $2 trillion. Those $2 trillion are there. And I think that there is a lot of room for people to sit down and negotiate. It may be, when you're sitting around the table, you may not need $3.5 trillion to do what the president wants done and what the country needs done. But let's work on it and stay out of all of this negotiating in the media. That's not the way to negotiate. Let's keep this around the table and see what we can come up with.
He's infuriating, Howie. So he's like, well, you know, they want $3.5 trillion, but that's the ceiling. And you know, Joe Manchin is saying $1 trillion. So there's $2.5 trillion in there that we can mess around with. You know, there's a lot we can cut. Well, what are you going to cut? I wish someone would ask him specifics. You're going to cut, you know, child care for working parents. What are you going to cut?
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, he'll cut things, you know, he won't cut at all, but he'll make everything, you know, less effective.
Right.
And you know, by doing this, these people are going to basically hand the House over to the Republicans.
Yep.
In 2022. That's what's going to happen now.
Exactly. Because instead of being, ensuring...
He's in a safe, constitutionally protected district. He, you know, they have to have a black district. His district, like, you know, reaches out, to, you know, around corners and through buildings.
Yep.
To get as many black people as possible. And, you know, his district is as Democratic as the rest of South Carolina is Republican. And I mean that literally.
Wow.
By the numbers.
Yeah, because of gerrymandering. Because that's what they do. And he plays the game. He is so political. He is playing this political game more than anybody else on the left. And yet he's saying, well, don't negotiate in the media. Well, screw you. Yes, do it in the open. Do it in the daylight so we know what you're trying to give away.
Yep. And what was he doing on the show if he doesn't want to negotiate in the daylight?
Right, exactly. It's infuriating. James Clyburn is just another one, I'm sorry, that needs to go home. We've got some amazing, young, progressive, great people in Congress. I saw AOC actually on, I think it was on CNN last night or the night before. And she's saying, look, everyone's talking about, you know, they're afraid what's going to happen in the Senate. Well, you know, Don't forget about us here. And if you screw with this bill, they're supposed to be passed in tandem. And if you screw with that one, don't think you're going to get this one because it doesn't go nearly far enough. And the deal was we passed them both together. So it's either both of them together or nothing.
But the thing is what is the second bill going to be?
Well,
no one is, even Sinema and Manchin are saying that they agree with second bill. The problem is that is it going to be a three? You know, the bill started out as a $6 trillion bill.
Right.
$6 trillion.
I know.
And then the White House leaned on Bernie to, you know, and said, look, we're never going to be able to pass a $6 trillion bill. It's just not going to happen. And he brought it down to $3.5 trillion.
Right.
So they've already negotiated this thing, almost cut it in half. And now Sinema and Manchin, as well as Gottheimer and the Blue Dogs, are saying no, it's still too much. We want more taken out of it.
Yeah. Good luck with that. And again,
not so much that they disagree with the policies. Like I said, when they say they want more taken out of it, all they're all talking about are taxes.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
Wow.
You know, the bill calls for three important things. One is raising taxes on people who are making over $400,000 a year. So I'm not talking about people who have that much money. That would be interesting. But people who make that per year, their taxes would go up. And not even go up to where it should be. Just go up a little bit to where it was before Trump cut it to smithereens. 39% tax rate. That's it. Well, you know, Biden has already basically given in to Manchin's demands. Manchin is saying, no, we can't go up 39%. And I can't remember what number he gave. I think it was 32 or 33, something like that. And that's all he'll agree to. So then you're stuck with the situation of not being able to pay for these programs. From his perspective, he doesn't care. He's saying he cares, but he doesn't really care. So they're going to wind up borrowing money. So it's going to cost way more than if they raise taxes. If they raise taxes, that's it. It's paid.
Right.
If they borrow money, you're going to have to pay for the interest forever.
Yeah.
And that's what's horrible. And I know a lot of people say it doesn't matter. The interest rates are low now and we can afford it. And I agree. But I'm saying that it would be much better if we got it along with the tax package that Biden and Bernie are projecting. So that's one thing. The other part of this, there are two other parts. One is taxes on corporate profits,
mm-hmm.
which are also like pathetically low. So there's that. And then the other one is it turns out the very, very rich, the richest 1% in America,
right.
Really owe $1 trillion, more than $1 trillion over the last 10 years in tax avoidance.
Sure.
And what Biden and Bernie proposed is beefing up the IRS so that they have enough agents and they have enough people who do the research, and you know, because that was all cut to shreds also ever since Bill Clinton came in and started doing that. But that's been done by every president since then. And Biden is saying, let's bring it back to where it can do its job. And of course, that is something that is horrifying to the Republicans and horrifying to the corrupt conservative Democrats as well. They don't want to see that because their donors are opposed to that. I mean, you know, just think about the extra trillions of dollars floating around in the pockets of these people who cheated on their taxes. You know, my proposal is a little bit extreme. I have to admit it.
Yeah,
I know
that?
It's extreme, so I don't want to offend anybody. But what I'm proposing is a great TV show, just a, you know, one-time extravaganza, music, dancing, and all that kind of stuff. And you take you pick a number, the two, the three, the five, the 10 biggest offenders who stole the most money from the taxpayers, the ones who didn't pay their taxes, and you execute them on TV. Everybody can watch. People can make jokes about it. There can be entertainment in between the executions. And you know what will happen?
They'll start paying.
Again.
Right. They'll start paying their fair share of taxes.
I think so.
How do we pick? Who do you have any, you know, like a Sheldon Adelson? Or did he die already?
He died, yes.
Did he? Good riddance.
But you know who the villains are. Yeah, you know, people like, just think. I mean, the owner of Facebook, that guy who owns Tesla, Buffett. Those are the ones who cheated on. I shouldn't say that. I know that Buffett cheated on his taxes. I'm not certain that he did. In fact, I would probably guess he didn't. But the others did.
Yeah. Anyway,
I want to see heads rolling.
Okay. All right. You're right. I don't think that will ever happen. But hey, keep the ideas coming because we need to figure this
out.
Even
a slap wrist isn't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. That's the problem with this thing, because these people give not only to Republicans, they give to Democrats also.
Yeah, I know.
I've been watching this. I was doing a little study on one of the worst of the Democratic lobbyists, and I was checking out who he was giving money to. Obviously, it's all the most corrupt Democrats.
And there are plenty of them to go around.
There's a bunch of them. But when you keep, as you keep looking over the years, look at that. He's giving money to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
This is like the biggest shot Democratic lobbyist, Tony Podesta.
John Podesta, right. Yeah. No, it's all so incestuous.
Mostly it all went to Democrats, all this garbage money. And a lot of Democrats say, well, we don't want money from someone like Podesta. We've never accepted it.
Yeah.
Well, what Podesta does is he gives tens of thousands of dollars to the DCCC.
Sure.
And these guys accept the money from the DCCC. He gives big chunks of money to scumbags like Steny Hoyer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and then Steny Hoyer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz hand it out to needy
others, right.
Democrats.
Yep.
So they take money, but they don't take it directly.
Yeah. There's so much broken that it's impossible to fix it all. So we're stuck with this really broken, corrupt system, and that's the problem. Unless we totally clean house and wipe everything out. But the other side wants to clean house and wipe everything out and have a constitutional, convention to make it, the other way. So we're in this very, very weird time in history where I'm not convinced that this experiment in democracy or democratic republic or whatever the hell it is going to survive. I think it's on really shaky ground.
I've never thought that before, but I agree with you. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't. And it's scary. And hearing Trump, did you hear what he? Oh my God! All right, we're so in overtime, but because I carried Biden's speech, I didn't have time to get to this. Did you hear what Donald Trump said about the Robert E. Lee statue being taken down?
Oh, I read very, very closely his statement. And in fact, I just finished up on a post which is coming out tonight.
Oh, good.
Which has the whole statement and which has comments from other people on the statement. So that should be, I'm really looking forward to finishing that post.
Well, for those who the listeners who maybe didn't hear it, I won't read the whole thing, but Donald Trump released a statement, just watched as a massive crane took down the magnificent and very famous statue of Robert E. Lee on his horse in Richmond, Virginia. It has long been recognized as a beautiful piece of bronze sculpture. To add insult to injury, those who support this, quote, taking... Now plan to cut it into three pieces and throw this work of art into storage prior to its complete desecration. What? Then he continues. He says, Robert E. Lee is considered by many generals to be the greatest strategist of them all. President Lincoln wanted him to command the North. He goes on and rewrites history. Okay. But then he goes, our culture is being destroyed, and our history and heritage, both good and bad, are being extinguished by the radical left, and we can't let that happen. If only we had Robert E. Lee to command our troops in Afghanistan, that disaster would have ended in a complete and total victory many years ago. What an embarrassment we are suffering because we don't have the genius of a Robert E. Lee.
Isn't that disgusting?
Oh my God, this man is sick.
Disgusting moron. That's what he is. He's both disgusting and he's stupid. One of the world's experts on Robert E. Lee did a guest post for NBC.com.
Uh-huh.
And I found it and I'm quoting him in my piece.
Okay.
So let me read a tiny bit of what he said. So he wrote the book Robert E. Lee. Oh, no, sorry. What was the name of his book? Robert E. Lee and Me.
Okay.
I'm talking about his name is Ty Sedgwick.
Okay.
Have you ever had him on your show?
No, never heard of him before.
No, he's somewhat famous.
Okay.
So anyway, so he writes, despite Trump's ridiculous protest to the contrary, Lee's reputation today seems to mirror his statue, cut to pieces. And then he goes on and explains why. And like I said, I have it in the post that's coming up. But this is the expert. This is the guy who's not just shooting off his mouth the way Trump does. This is the guy who knows every move that Robert E. Lee took in his life.
Right. No, but Trump knows nothing. He's never opened a history book. He's never read the Constitution or the Bible, for that matter. And yet he's saying that we're an embarrassment. We're suffering because we don't have a genius like Robert E. Lee, and we would have won in Afghanistan if he was in charge. What the fuck? And half of this country wants to vote for this guy again?
Not half.
Well, you know, 74 million people. I'm sorry. That alone is an astounding number, that so many people have been conned by this con man and continue to be. It's mind-boggling.
It is. It is absolutely mind-boggling.
All right. Howie,
over time, are we stepping on somebody else's time?
Oh, no. So we're off of the Progressive Voices Network, but now we're on my video streams and audio stream and the podcast. So I just keep going. The only thing that, you know, we are cut off of at 6 o'clock or 3 o'clock your time is the Progressive Voices Network. And they go to Leslie Marshall or somebody. But that's okay, because, you know, we still have, we're all still here.
Good.
Yeah. So this will go out on the podcast. It's on the videos. It's the only thing it didn't go out is live on the Progressive Voices Network. So the people who listen there, we cut off at 6:00. And, you know, I think they're used to it because the clocks never sync up. You know, I refresh my clock on my computer, so it's to whatever the atomic time is, but their clock is off. So we're so out of sync that I don't know what time they wind up cutting away from me. I just do the show. So.
Got it.
Yep.
And they just stop in sentence?
Possibly. It happens all the time. Yeah, because this is how all network shows work. So they, you know, the computer basically picks up my feed from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. So if I have dead air playing, that's what goes out. If there's nothing playing, whatever I have coming out between 5 and 6, they carry, and then after that, they don't hear me anymore. They're lost.
Right. So I've been trying to figure out, and I've talked to a million people about this, how to correlate IQ with propensity to, like you said, be conned by Trump, and or have voted for Trump.
Right.
And I write about it every now and then, and I'm about to again.
Oh, good.
Excited.
Well, let me know when it comes up again, because I'm really curious. I ramble a lot. Can you tell? And somebody excerpted a line. I said, how can so much of America be so stupid? I don't remember saying it, but yeah, that's something I would say. It's amazing to me how dumb so many Americans are. How gullible, how easily conned and easily led they are by this man who's a sham. Everything about him is fake.
Absolutely. And it shocks me also. It's hard to believe, but it's the case.
Yeah. And that's why he said early on, I love the poorly educated, because the dumber you are, I guess the more you idolize him. Anyway, Howie Klein.
Yeah, and easier it is to trick them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then they regurgitate your bullshit. Somebody just came into the chat room on YouTube and it's like, the vaccine infects you with something over time. It's like, fuck you. Just go away. I reported her to YouTube, and Diane, one of our moderators, just blocked her. But constantly these people have no clue.
Did you hear that? People are getting paid to do this kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't doubt it. I hadn't heard that, but I don't doubt it.
Yeah. They're literally being paid. Now, I'm not saying by the Trump campaign,
well,
but by Trump-friendly
people, right? Because Trump doesn't pay anybody. Yeah, he doesn't pay his bills, so he has other people do it for him.
Right. And they're doing it. They're running around posting bullshit and on websites against against the vaccine and doing everything they can to spread propaganda.
It's incredible.
Across the digital lanes, including shows like yours.
Yeah. Right. Well, they don't last long. I mean, this show, if you go into the chat room, say on YouTube, we're all in the same boat. So when someone comes in, they stick out like a sore thumb pushing shit like that. So before, I mean, as I was reporting her to YouTube, Diane had already like deleted her comment and blocked her. So, you know, we got it covered. We're good. All right, Howie Klein, so go check downwithtyranny.com tonight, and you'll get the post that you're working on today. And then hopefully in a few days, we'll get this other about the IQ of people who follow Trump.
No, that's going to be tomorrow morning at 5.
Oh, tomorrow morning at 5. Okay. Well, I will look for it then. Howie, as always, thank you. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Week.
Bye. You too. And there you go. We're so over. Do you still want the news? Should I play the news? We're long. We're late. I guess so. What else? I just have to post the podcast anyway. All right. So tomorrow we wrap up the week with Tom Hartmann. Tom has yet another book out. This man has written 5,833 books. So this new one is The Hidden History of American Healthcare. And you can see all my little post-its in here. We lived through this. So a lot of what he's talking about as I'm reading it, we went through 10 years ago when the Affordable Care Act was passed, but I'm learning stuff that I didn't know. I mean, I knew that Medicare Advantage was bad. The shit I'm reading now is frightening. It's just so depressing. So anyway, we're going to have fun with Tom Hartmann tomorrow. Okay. So be here. Plus things I didn't get to today. Need to talk about Blue's Clues. Right. And 9/11, the anniversary coming up on Saturday. So we have a busy show tomorrow. I will leave you with the news, though. All right. So I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging. Thank you for being you. All right. Have a good one, everyone.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden scheduled to address the nation Thursday, scheduled for 5 Eastern, did. But you know how that goes. He'll unveil five. A 6-part plan to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic that just won't go away. The plan will focus on vaccinating the unvaccinated, further protecting the vaccinated through booster shots, keeping schools open, increasing testing, requiring masks, plus economic recovery and improving care for those who have come down with the virus. Meanwhile, data revealed that the risk of severe breakthrough COVID-19 cases is higher for older adults and for those with multiple underlying medical conditions. And as doctors feared, it's children who are getting hit hard by COVID-19 as school starts up around the country. A record 2,396 children were hospitalized with COVID-19 as of Tuesday. So you know the old saying, as goes California, so goes the nation? Well, the Los Angeles Unified School District is expected to become the first major school district in the country to mandate COVID-19 vaccinations for students 12 and older. The LA Times reporting that a majority of the LAUSD Board of Education has already stated publicly that they would vote for the mandate. The vote is likely to happen Thursday afternoon. If it passes, students 12 and older would need to receive a first dose of the vaccine by November 21st and a second dose by December 19th in order to attend in-person learning. That way, the next semester would begin with a fully inoculated school population. Any child who turns 12 will then have 30 days after their birthday to get their first shot. Contrast that to Florida, where Leon County Circuit Judge John Cooper again sided with parents who said that an executive order from the governor overstepped Florida's authority in restricting school districts from mandating masks. When issuing his ruling, Judge Cooper said, quote, "We have a variant that's more infectious and more dangerous to children than the one we had last year. We're in a non-disputed pandemic situation with threats to young children who have no way to avoid this unless to stay home and isolate themselves and wear a freaking mask. Cooper referred to the guidance by the CDC that recommends masks for students and staff in schools, calling it the gold standard. As for DeSantis's executive order against mandated masks, well, about a dozen school districts in the state have defied the order. But Miami-Dade County reported 13 staff deaths, including four teachers, since schools opened just a few weeks ago. 13. And even though a judge for the second time ruled against his mandate, DeSantis plans to file an emergency motion to reinstate the stay. What is wrong with him? Rhetorical question. The Biden administration on Wednesday announced a new goal for the U.S. to get nearly half of its electricity from solar power by 2050. That would obviously require major upgrades to the power grid, which currently gets less than 4% of its electricity from solar. Biden announced last month that he wants all new cars to be electric by 2030. In Afghanistan, more than 200 dual nationals, including Americans, can now fly out of Kabul in the first large-scale evacuation since the U.S. airlift. Two Kabul-based diplomats confirmed the flight and said the manifest would allow 211 people to leave, including American, British, Italian, Dutch, Ukrainian, and German passport holders. A few planes containing people who want to leave the country remain stuck at the airport. Closer to home, Virginia on Wednesday finally took down a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, the last Confederate memorial on Richmond's historic Monument Avenue. The state Supreme Court last week dismissing a challenge to the Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's order from June of 2020 to remove it. A crowd cheered as workers removed the statue. Unfortunately, the former guy couldn't keep his big mouth shut, topping himself this time, releasing a statement that might be the single most stupid thing he's ever said. Regarding Robert E. Lee, the former guy wrote, quote, "Robert E. Lee is considered by many generals to be the greatest strategist of them all. President Lincoln wanted him to command the North, in which case the war would have been over in one day." Okay. "Robert E. Lee instead chose the other side because of his great love of Virginia. And except for Gettysburg, would have won the war." Okay, so there he rewrites history, but then it gets better. The failed former president ended the statement with this bit of brilliance, quote, "If only we had Robert E. Lee to command our troops in Afghanistan, that disaster would have ended in a complete and total victory many years ago. What an embarrassment we are suffering because we don't have the genius of Robert E. Lee." Oh, please. This man is going to announce another run for the presidency. Speaking of elections, California Governor Gavin Newsom is bringing out the big guns, metaphorically speaking, to boost turnout and no votes on the recall election that ends Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, September 14th. Vice President Kamala Harris, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and former President Barack Obama have joined Newsom on the trail this week, while others like Bernie Sanders have cut TV ads to help. With polls showing the race widening, Republicans are defaulting to their usual cries of shenanigans and voter fraud, with everyone from the former guy on down saying that Democrats will cheat to win. Can you say projection? And finally, news of another tell-all book on the way. This time it's a Trump insider. Stephanie Grisham is writing a book. She was Melania's chief of staff and then became Trump's press secretary, though she never held a briefing while in that position. But because of her access, she's expected to have a lot of dirt that she will spill when the book is released on October 5th. Stay tuned. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, so I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button.